Good morning. It's great to see you all again virtually today. As always, as I say, I'd much prefer to be with you in person, but I also thank God for the wonders of technology, which have been keeping so many of us going in recent weeks and months. Today, we begin with a mini sermon series where we follow the church calendar for 3 weeks, thinking about the ascension of Jesus this week, Pentecost Sunday next week, and Trinity Sunday the week after that. Now today, for Ascension Day, it would be great if you could have looked at the YouTube clip of the Apollo 8 Saturn V rocket launch before continuing on the sermon link if you haven't watched it already, because I refer to it in the talk. I'm going to read the two passages for us. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. And Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Two really amazing passages and very thought-provoking. Let's pray as we continue this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much that church family members have been worshipping in our parish, singing your praises and reading your word together for so many years. And we thank you for the ability to worship together through technology today. As we think again about the ascension of Jesus and what it means for us, we pray that you will use your word and your spirit to bring transformation to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I spent quite a bit of time wondering how I could help us to visualise a little bit more the ascension of Jesus. And I looked up some pictures on the internet, but there wasn't really anything that helped that much. But ever since I was a child, I've had a fascination with all things space and rockets and astronauts. And so I looked at some footage of rocket launches to see if this could give us a way into beginning our thinking today. And I found the clip I asked you to watch. Now, just a reminder, if you haven't watched it, it's only 2 minutes long. It's really worth having a look because it's totally amazing. It's a story of enormous courage and great human ingenuity. And also, it's very powerful and majestic to watch the rocket going off into the sky. And yet, How much more dramatic, how much more awe-striking would it have been to be present at the ascension of Jesus and to witness him leaving the earth, disappearing off into the clouds? The ascension of Jesus is a story which can get overlooked in the church calendar. It's easy to understand why we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. It's easy to understand why we celebrate Jesus' resurrection following his death at Easter. It's easy to understand why we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples at Pentecost. But why would we celebrate Jesus leaving us and the end of his physical presence in the world? The story of the ascension is simultaneously one of the least understood and one of the greatest events in the life of Jesus. The birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus are all completed in the act of the ascension. Tim Keller, who is a famous theologian, says that the ascension takes that which Jesus was and did on earth and releases it into the universe and our lives with all of its healing power. The ascension takes that which Jesus was and did on earth and releases it into the universe and our lives with all of its healing power. Grasping what happened at the ascension is foundational to our faith because it establishes Jesus as Lord and King of all. It assures us again of our security in him, and it reminds us that we are to play our part in bringing about the coming of his kingdom. It establishes Jesus as Lord and King of all. It assures us again of our security in him, and it reminds us of the part that we are to play in bringing about the coming of his kingdom. It's these three things which I'm going to focus on today using the images of a crown, praying hands, and a baton being passed between two sportsmen. Those images will be used consistently throughout the whole talk to reinforce the three main points that I'm trying to make. So firstly, symbolised by the crown, the ascension establishes Jesus as Lord and King of all. Acts chapter 3 verse 1 tells us that in the days following the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his followers for a period of 40 days, presenting himself as alive. One of the reasons for this was to give the disciples time to realise that the cross wasn't a disaster. They'd been so confused for a while. It had seemed to them as though everything had gone so wrong, and they needed to see that everything had indeed been planned for their good. Jesus leaving them this time was not the same as before. During the resurrection appearances, Jesus appeared and disappeared, gradually weaning them from his presence with them, until at the ascension he ascends to be with the Father, and the disciples see him go, making it clear to them that there'll be no further resurrection appearances. And verse 52 of Luke chapter 24 tells us that when Jesus ascends to heaven, the disciples worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The cross, the resurrection, and the additional resurrection appearances establish that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has defeated death, and they show us that we are free and forgiven. The ascension establishes Jesus as Lord and King of all, and that is why the disciples worship with great joy when Jesus leaves them at this time. We are reminded that Jesus is Lord and King of all, both through the way in which Jesus ascends and through his actual ascending. Verse 9 of the Acts passage tells us that Jesus was taken before the disciples' very eyes into a cloud. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the presence of a cloud indicates the divine presence of God. It was the presence of God in a cloud that led the people of Israel in the wilderness. It was the presence of God in a cloud that covered Mount Sinai, where Moses and Joshua went to worship. In the New Testament, a cloud is again present at the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus being lifted up into the cloud represents his exaltation to the heightened place again as the eternal transcendent God, one with the Trinity. He who humbled himself and became obedient to death is now the exalted Lord of all. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The ascension signals the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. The period of human limitation was finished. Having completed his earthly work, having accomplished all that he'd been sent for and came to do, Jesus returned to heaven and the Father reinstated his heavenly glory, giving him the name above all other names. And this also fulfills the prophecy about the Son of Man found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." At the ascension, Jesus is enthroned as Lord and King of all. There is no rival for him in this world or the spirit world. He is eternally triumphant and will reign forevermore. It is an ending, yet it is also a beginning. With the promise of the Holy Spirit to come, the disciples then and we now are linked to Jesus permanently, all the time. He was no longer bound by time and place, but had been released throughout the world. Jesus can never be separated from any of us. He has dominion over space and time. Symbolised by the crown, the ascension establishes Jesus as Lord and King of all. Secondly, symbolised by the praying hands, the ascension also assures us again of our security in Jesus. What could be even better than Jesus with us in person on the earth? Jesus in a place where he can work for us. And due to the ascension, Jesus is in heaven, in the throne room of God, whilst being with us by his Holy Spirit here on earth. When in the mess of our lives or in the mess of the world, we wonder what on earth is going on, we can remember that the highest place in the universe is taken by Jesus, who is rooting for us in heaven, interceding, praying for us, at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 says, "Therefore we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." And verse 16 goes on to tell us that when we draw near to the throne of Jesus, we will receive mercy and grace to help us in our times of need. Ascended to his throne in heaven, Jesus has taken all that he did on earth in human form and released it throughout the world. By his Spirit, released 10 days after the ascension at Pentecost, he is always with each of us. And from his position at the right hand of the Father, he is always ready to help each of us. If we are to have comfort, stability, and sanity in life, we all need to know that someone is over and above us who cares for us and is stronger than we are, and the people and the forces and the circumstances of our lives. Well, Jesus is the one who is over and above us, who cares for us, who is stronger than us, and who, whatever we go through, works all the time for our good. So, symbolised by the praying hands, the ascension assures us again of our security in Jesus. Finally, symbolised by the passing of a baton, the ascension reminds us that we also are to play our part in bringing about the coming of Jesus' kingdom. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that during the time of the resurrection appearances, as well as proving the truth of the resurrection, Jesus also taught the disciples about the kingdom of God. He prepared them for the work he had for them and for us to do. In Luke chapter 24 verses 50 to 51, Jesus blesses the disciples as he leaves them. It's a bit like we do at the end of our services, sending us back out into the world to do God's work. Jesus was sending out the disciples. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus gives them and us a task for the time until he returns again. To be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are each of us Jesus's ministers here on earth. He has passed the baton onto us. The image of the baton being passed reminds us of the task which Jesus has set before us. And it reminds us that we too are to continually encourage each other, build each other up, and to hand the baton on to others, commissioning them too wherever we can. We spread out with the love of God to others so that they can spread out with the love of God to others, so that they can spread out with the love of God to others. And so it continues and continues. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Through us, his disciples, Jesus brings comfort to the sick and the dying. Through us, his disciples, Jesus gives friendship to the lonely and the stranger. Through us, his disciples, Jesus comes into the hearts of others when we grasp the opportunities that arise in our daily dealings with them to share what it means to know him and the comfort that comes from knowing he is near and being ready to help in times of need. We are in a time between the ascension and Jesus's return. The kingdom of God has come, but is not yet here in its fullness. While we wait and long for the return of Jesus, we carry on his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit and in his name. Jesus, who loves us, who has died for our sins and conquered death for us, that we may live for eternity, asks us to love others too and let the good news of his great love be known. And the gentle rebuke of the two men in white in Acts chapter 1 verse 11 saying, "Why do you stand there looking into the sky?" reminds us that we too are to get on and do this. So, symbolised by the passing of the baton, the ascension reminds us that we are to play our part in bringing about the coming of Jesus's kingdom. As Tim Keller said, the ascension takes that which Jesus was and did on earth and releases it into the universe and our lives with all of its healing power. Grasping what happened at the ascension is foundational to our faith because it establishes Jesus as a Lord and King of all, symbolised by the crown. It assures us again of our security in him, symbolised by the praying hands. And it reminds us that we too are to play our part in bringing about the coming of his kingdom, symbolised by the passing of the baton. And I pray that we will take these messages to our hearts today, this week, and always. Amen. God bless you all.